Say good morning to each and every one of you here today. Bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is good to be here today with each one of you. And I guess I'm allowed to say this, but Merry Christmas to each one of you. It's not quite Christmas yet. It will be in 3 days. And it's, as Brother Eddie pointed out in Sunday school class, we don't know for sure that it's the day that Jesus was born, but it is the day that we remember that Jesus was born. And I think we do well to observe that and to, you know, as Brother Gary pointed out, and I appreciated that song that you read, as he pointed out, you know, there could have been multiple ways that God could have fulfilled his plan, but this is the plan that God chose to fulfill the plan for us. He chose to have Jesus come as a baby, born in a stable, in a manger, laid in a manger. He chose that he would rise up and be a teacher here for a couple of years on earth. And then he would die and shed his blood for the remission of our sins and rise again to provide us new lives. So in the middle of all of that, that is God's perfect plan. He chose that way for it to happen, and that is God's perfect plan. Excuse me. It is another good day to be alive. It's a good day to be here and to be able to worship together. This morning we have maybe a shorter message, and sometimes that They asked Brother Bill if he would lead some more Christmas songs. I don't think we have enough time to sing Christmas songs, and it seems like about 3 or 4 weeks, and then it's over, and mostly for another year. But I guess my mind got to thinking this week, and different times I often think about things like this, but we know that none of us have a promise of tomorrow. And Tuesday, my wife and I chose to go to Lancaster and do some shopping, and I got a call about 1 o'clock and said my mom wasn't doing so well, and it was kind of like, oh man, are we going to be planning a funeral yet before Christmas? And I don't mean that haphazardly, but yeah, she was very short of breath, and they got orders. She's on oxygen now and is not on it 24 hours a day, but most of the day. Been a lot more confused since that, but I got to thinking, you know, each one of us, there was a nurse that was there. We ended up going down to the home Tuesday evening. A nurse came in and was evaluating her on a few things, and she said to us first, and then we went back to my mom's room for a little bit, and she said that nobody leaves this earth before God's appointed time. And I really thought about that and been thinking about that, and we don't choose when we're born. We don't choose when we die. But I guess I've been thinking, you know, what are we doing with life while we have it? And that's that song we sang, Go Tell It on the Mountain. What are we telling? What are we telling on the mountain? What are we telling others by how we live? What are we telling others by what we are doing? We've often hear the phrase, or maybe even say the phrase ourselves, are you ready for Christmas? What do we mean by that? Do we mean, do you have all the gifts that you need? Do we mean, do you have everything perfect for that day? Maybe you're cooking a meal. Maybe you're invited family in. Maybe you've invited loved ones in. But let's back up and think about it just for a moment. As Christians, what should that question mean to us? Are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready again to celebrate the day that Jesus came as a baby, the day that God revealed himself to us in human flesh, the day that our salvation began, the day that God began the process to make our salvation possible is another better way to say that. One of the things I found as I was doing some studying and reading, a question we undoubtedly hear several times between now and Christmas Day is, are you ready for Christmas? I suppose what is really being asked is, have you put all the Christmas decorations up? Have you finished your Christmas shopping? Have you mailed your Christmas cards? Are you ready for Christmas? We meet ourselves coming and going. We call it the Christmas rush. Sometimes the Christmas season can become very hectic, and because of that, we tend to forget much of the reason for the season. So I guess this morning, as we're thinking about some of this, if I don't leave you with any other challenge, I want to leave you with this. Let's not get so caught up in the rush or the busyness of this time of year that we forget why we are really celebrating. You know, I'm sure that Jesus would be, I guess I can even use the word disappointed, to know that we got so busy that we're really forgetting the real reason that we actually have a Christmas season. It's a rather sad story about a little girl who was watching her mom and dad get ready for Christmas. To her, it seemed that dad was preoccupied and burdened with bundles, and mom was so concerned about having the parties and presents just perfect that they didn't have no time for her. She felt she was being shoved away. In fact, it seemed to her that she was always being told, "Would you please go away and not bother us right now?" So one night in December, she knelt beside her bed and prayed this prayer: "Our Father who art in heaven, please forgive our Christmases as we forgive those who have Christmased against us." Seems a little odd the way she worded that, but yet she was realizing that they were forgetting the real meaning of Christmas. Did you ever hear anyone saying, "I just can't get into the Christmas spirit this year"? What is the Christmas spirit? Is it all the joy and all the giving? And not that that isn't okay or it isn't important, but the real reason for the Christmas spirit is to remember that Jesus came as a baby. I want to read the text at this time. I'm just going to take time to read. I know it was in the Sunday school quarterlies, at least in the adults and the youth, but in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And then we're going to read Matthew 1, verse 18 to 25, make a few comments, and I have a story at the end, and I think that'll be pretty much it for this morning. Sometimes I wonder, in times like this, if the story of Jesus' birth speaks for itself. We can add a few things to it, but there's not a lot we can add to the story and to the wonder of it. But Luke 20, verses 1 through 20, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius was..." Let me start verse 2 over. "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor over Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, watching over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, or good news, of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which were told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And then over in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Says there, "And now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, made being a just man and not willing to make a pub..." "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which she is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord hath bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. It's not going to be real lengthy here, but one of the things I was thinking about as we were pondering here, we want to look at a couple things in Mary and Joseph's response, as well as the thinking about Jesus and what he has done for us. But one of the things that I guess really came out to me is accepting God's will, whatever it may be. Think about it for a moment. You know, we've been taught the story of Mary and Joseph from little up. We know all the details in and out. We've been told that Mary was a good young lady and a pure, and I believe she was. I'm not doubting that in any way, shape, or form. But think about Mary and Joseph when they were doing this. You know, Mary could have said, I don't really know that I want to do this. Or Joseph could have said, you got to be kidding me. This don't even really make sense. I mean, think about it for a moment, of a young man engaged to a young girl, and she was pure and holy and she was good. They were looking forward to being married. And all of a sudden she comes and tells him that she's with child. And he's like, you know, the questions that had to be going through his mind, and obviously were. But yet in a dream, he heard from the Lord and he was willing to accept God's will no matter what it was. And I got a little bit ahead of myself there, but thinking a little bit about Joseph some more, the only thing that could have been going through his head at first was that she was unfaithful. She was, you know, there's so many things that could have been going through his mind. But then when he had the dream, the angel of the Lord revealed to him that what she was saying was true, and he was willing to fulfill the will of God. I think one of the things we can learn from Joseph and Mary, that both of them had a strong faith in God. And they were both willing to live for him and fulfill his plan, whatever that may be. And another thing we need to remember is that Joseph and Mary had both placed their trust in God. They were both willing to do whatever God had for them. I guess it's just a challenge for each one of us as we think about some of that, that are we willing to fulfill God's plan, even sometimes when it don't make sense? Are we willing to do what God wants us to do, even when it might not all seem like it could have happened the way it should have happened? I guess there's a little story I found as I was studying I'd like to read, and a few other comments yet. But what do we really do over Christmas? And this is one, I guess, is to maybe encourage us to reach out to the down and out, to reach out to those that maybe don't have, maybe don't have much of anything at Christmas, maybe don't really have family, maybe there's somebody homeless. We don't think that there's homeless people around us, but there are people that are like that. There are maybe not as prevalent in our area here as there is in the big cities, but there are people that don't have much, and this is just a story that'll help us think about that. It's a story about a young couple with an 18-month-old son that had gone to spend a few days with grandparents at Christmas. Christmas Day fell on Sunday that year, and the young father had to be back at work on Monday morning. So right after going to church together that morning, the young family said their goodbyes and set off for home. There weren't very many gas stations open since it was Christmas Day, but they did find a truck stop that was open, so they stopped to get some fuel and something to eat. They went inside in the dimly lit restaurant and sat down and found that they were the only customers there, or so they thought. But their little son Eric, who was 18 months old, said, hi there, and he kept putting these two words together, hi there, and made them into one, hi there. And every time he said that, there was a response from a table over near the door. It said, hi there, little boy, hi, little boy. And they looked, and there they saw an old, ragged, and tattered, old-looking man. His coat was several sizes too big, and it was old and torn. His trousers were so long they drug on the floor. His shoes had holes in them, and his toes actually stuck out, and he had an old hat tilted to one side. His face was unshaven, and when he smiled, it revealed that almost all of his teeth were gone. And yet, for some reason, little Eric was attracted to this old man, and he kept saying, "Hi there, hi there," and every time the old man would answer. Finally, the old man said, "Little boy, do you know how to do patty cake?" And sure enough, from across the room, little Eric started playing patty cake. "Little boy, do you know how to play peekaboo?" And sure enough, little boy hid his eyes and played peekaboo. There was an instant connection between little Eric and the old man that was obviously a rejection of society. Eric's parents began to feel uneasy. The husband whispered to his wife, "Let's get done eating our food and get out of here as quick as we can." So they gulped it down, and then he said, "I'll pay for the food and you get Eric out the door." But as she started toward the door, hoping to get out without any problems, but as they passed him, Eric reached out both of his arms toward the old ragged man. The old man sat there and looked at the mother and then asked, would you mind if you let me hold your baby for just a little bit?" Really, she didn't have much of a chance to say about it, because by that time, Eric had virtually lunged or jumped into the old man's arms. He cradled Eric in one of his hands and patted his back with the other, and as Eric put his arms around the old man's neck and nestled his head into his shoulder, closing his eyes, the old man just looked at him with tears streaming down his cheeks, and for a long moment he held the child and loved on him. And as he did, he looked up at the mother and said, "You take good care of that little boy." And she answered and said, "I will, sir." Then he handed Eric back and said, thank you very much. You have given me the most precious gift I've had on Christmas for a long time." It went on to say, and I won't take time to read the rest of the article, but he had lost his family. He had been a homeless man for many years. Most people treated him as an outcast, didn't want anything to do with him. And this was the first time he had held a little child for a long time, because most people in society didn't want him to have anything to do with touching or being near his children. And I had to think, as I was reading this story a couple years ago, our family went, I think it was either Baltimore or Washington, I don't remember which, and we got on subway, there you go. And as soon as we walked into that subway, there was this horrible smell, and there was I don't even know if it was a lady or a man, was sitting there in the corner, and it was fairly cold out, and it appeared that they had got on the subway to ride the subway to stay warm. And they had so many clothes on and were just ragged and torn and just looked like rejected by society. And like I said, they were dressed so heavily and had their head down and never could tell whether it was a woman or man. But everybody that came onto the subway, we had to ride for quite a few stops, but just this horrendous smell was overcoming as soon as you walked into that car. And I had to think, I didn't do anything, of course the person that had their head down was so covered up they weren't even acknowledging anybody, but I wondered later as I was thought about it, and then again I thought about that again this morning, I wonder if anybody had ever reached out to that person and with the love of Jesus. So I guess a challenge that I'll let with each one of us today, as we go throughout the Christmas season, let's not take for granted that the real reason that we have Christmas is because Jesus came to this earth as a baby. And I had asked the question earlier, what is the Christmas spirit? It's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about the present we may get or may not get. I've seen a YouTube video one time of a child, actually I don't remember where it was, but it was on a video of some sort, of child throwing a fit because they didn't get what they wanted for their birthday. And then another story of another child when they were asked, "Did you get what you wanted for Christmas?" And she said, "No, not really. But then again, it's not really my birthday either." So let's think about it as we go through this time, but not only through this Christmas season, but through all of the year. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And I put about 4 exclamation points behind that in my notes. It's all about Jesus. It's about God and His great love for us and His willingness to send His Son down to this earth for you and for me. He didn't send Jesus down here so that we could get so busy and wrapped up with the hustle and bustle over this season. And man, if you go to stores in the last couple days, it's almost a nightmare. And that ain't why God sent His Son Jesus to this earth. He sent His Son Jesus to this earth to be a Savior for each one of us. There's nothing wrong with family gatherings and giving or receiving of gifts, but let's not get so busy that we forget what Christmas is really about. In closing, I want to read a couple verses there out of Luke 2 again, verses 11 to 14. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.